If you are listening to this podcast right now, I want you to take a second and look down. When was the last time you shaved your junk? It's been a while, don't lie. Let's take a second to thank our sponsor, Manscaped, for holding you accountable to get rid of that funk and shave your junk. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. A lot of our viewers have reached out, listeners, I guess, and actually at our tailgate, I mean, it was like the number one topic, how the Manscaped products were a game changer. I'm just telling you right now, they sent us a package, three full packages of their new 3.0 Perfect Package, and it is a game changer. It's a must order, must check out, highly encourage. I can't say it enough. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. It's the perfect tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? So why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? When you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit at manscaped.com, you get the biggest bang for your buck. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Make sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. You heard it right. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code MENACE. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you. It is Friday, March 6th. Welcome to Menace to Sports. And here's what we're going to do for this episode because I'll give you the rundown, a couple reasons. Well, so we had about 20 interviews set up over the last 3 weeks that all got blown up because of the personal stuff I had going on. So we rescheduled them. We got a bunch of things coming next week. Coach JB from Last Chance U on Netflix is going to be on the show next week. We're bringing on, we got to bring Austin Mack back on. Ben Victor's coming on. Chris Olave's mom, Kasha Olave, is going to be on the show in the next couple weeks. And then a number of other guests. I know Terry McLaurin's talking about coming on. We've talked to a number of people about coming on. I mentioned it, there's going to be some NFL Zecs. I really want to get behind the scenes into this, some of these processes. But more importantly, what I want to do right now is, as we get this stuff going, is I want to give you a preview of what we just started. And that's it's a Patreon exclusive right now as we get the show started and launched. It's going to be called Menace in the Morning. And twice a week, minimally, we're going to put out a morning show. It's going to be in the morning, not like this, which is early afternoon. It's going to be a morning show where we just kind of give you some updates, just talk current events, just give you something to listen to. Way more laid back than the normal show, not as organized. But the big news is Curtis Grant is going to be a part of it. Former Buckeye captain, 2014, national champ, and really one of the most motivational and insightful human beings and football players that I've been around. So I've been on him to put himself out there more. And so this is going to be something that he does. He's going to do the morning show with me at least once of the week of the two, maybe both. But just want to get him, give his perspective to you and also give him a platform because I think he could benefit society a lot. So Curtis Grant, Menace in the Morning. We are coming to you right now with a preview of what Patreon subscribers get are going to get. Or they're starting with this show. Moving on in the future, Menace in the Morning, along with the question and answer call-in show. So if you haven't signed up for Patreon, please, you got to do it. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. You go $30 a month, we got a group chat popping. We are doing big things on Patreon. So make sure you check it out. Sign up, become a subscriber, support the show, get all this extra content because this is the only Menace to the Morning show that you're going to get. Unless you're a subscriber. Subscribers are going to get them all. So anyways, enough about that. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
All right, here we go. Menace in the Morning. Thank you for joining us. I want to start off by just explaining what this show is going to be, and I kind of already hinted to it. It's going to be about sports. Don't get me wrong. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk current events in all sports. We're also going to talk Buckeye athletics, especially with my background and now that Curtis Grant's going to be on. We're going to bring his knowledge into it. So don't think that we're going to get away from sports at all, but it's going to be far less analytical, far more conversational. And the other thing we're going to talk about is I've started this company, I've actually started two companies, and now I'm trying to drive these two companies and not spread myself too thin. I want to share that process with the listeners. I also want to share just regular life experiences that I've had, a lot like we're doing the Locked Up episodes, which the next episode will come out this weekend. The Locked Up episodes are coming out, kind of sharing my life experiences. So Curtis Grant's going to do the same. He started his own company. He's going to share his struggles, his successes, kind of just give you some stories, give you some entertaining stuff to talk about. And then we're also going to move into some other funny things. We're going to do some prank calls. So I want to put it out there. I'm a prank call specialist. I did it when I was a coach. We used to do it. If you ever watch, I know Patreon subscribers got to watch the video, the hometown hero videos that we did in recruiting. I prank call people as, hey, how you doing? My name's Jim Greenlee. I was calling because I'm from Greer, South Carolina. It was my alter ego, Jim Greenlee. So we're going to do some prank calls. If you got anybody you want to prank call, we'll prank call your wife, your husband, your sister, your kid, your boss, it doesn't matter. Hit us up. We'll prank call him. We can set it up. We want to do some funny things and be savage with it. So we're gonna do that every now and then. But it's going to be a much lighter show. So I wanted to give you kind of insight into this platform. And it's a work in progress. So we're going to really, really focus on just doing something fun. This is going to be something fun as opposed to something more serious, more analytical, more, I'm serious. That's what it is. So the first thing I want to do is just talk a little update. Had a number of conversations with some very, very important people that I'm not going to name my peoples, my connections. But just talking about Ohio State, I know we're going to have a kind of, I'm waiting until they actually play real football. And I know they have Ohio State has spring break next week. I know Clemson's underway. We're going to bring Anna Hickey back, get her thoughts on Clemson's spring thus far. We're going to bring on another special guest to be named to talk about Ohio State spring. But I'm going to give you my perspective on what I see in the returning team, what I hear and have seen out of them this spring. And then also, you know, my concerns. And like I said, we're going to do a full mid-spring recap probably in 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, depending on how the calendar lays out. Once they do put pads on and play real football. But I want to talk about the Buckeyes for a minute. That's what I'm most knowledgeable about. And obviously it's going to start on offense. I think here's the big question mark. And as we go into this, the big question mark on offense is the running back position. And I've not hidden my feelings on it. I don't believe that the Buckeyes have a running back that is an elite caliber running back. I know Tony Alford's a phenomenal football coach. He will definitely get the most out of those guys, but losing out on Bijan Robinson and going back, I'm not going to go through the history, but we've lost out on a lot of big time backs since J.K. Dobbins, and not getting a big time back coming off the year J.K. had was a huge whiff for Ohio State, and it's definitely a major concern. So that's the biggest concern. People are going to talk to you a lot about Marcus Crowley, about what Steel Chambers can bring. They're going to talk to you about Master Teague and how strong he looked when he played. But here's all I'm going to tell you. The feeling is that, and it's not just me, it's people that know what they're talking about and know more than anyone else you listen to. There is not a running back on this roster that can be an elite running back. Nobody has seen it. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Something magical couldn't happen. Mickey Moradi might just absolutely perform a miracle. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. So it could happen. But what is on the roster right now at the level of performance they play at the level of development they have hit, there is not an elite running back. I'm sorry. People can call me a Buckeye homer, but I'm going to keep it real with you all day, all teams. There is not a great running back. That's the biggest concern, the run game. And the second concern, or not the second concern, but what I think is the most important thing here is what a debut opportunity for Corey Dennis to develop Justin Fields even further, because he was a really, really, really good player. I'm not going to say he was a great player last year. He was a really good player. The development from last spring practice one to this year's spring practice one is astronomical. It's a different kid. I watched the practice film, and that is a different player. If you cut on both practices and watched them back to back, it would be hard for you to convince me it was the same kid, but it is. And so what an opportunity for Corey Dennis, not only because he has probably the Heisman front runner. I don't have the odds in front of me. I know he was up there. I think he is. It's him or Trevor Lawrence is the front runner, to my knowledge. And obviously the two quarterbacks are the two best teams with the most hype at this point, which doesn't matter. But Corey Dennis, first time, full-time coach, and he is primed and ready for the job. And here's what's really cool. And I mean, it's going to be a boom or bust, make or break year for Justin Fields and Corey Dennis, because they're going to have to throw the shit out of the ball. They really are. Ryan Day has the playbook for it. Ryan Day has the experience doing it. They have the quarterback for it. And Corey Dennis is going to have to do, I mean, you're talking about, this is $1 million year for Corey Dennis. First year position coach, has a Heisman candidate. And if he can develop Justin Fields and coach Justin Fields, and if that kid can win the Heisman Trophy throwing the football the way that they're going to need him to, Corey Dennis will be the hottest name in coaching at 20 whatever years old. It will be ridiculous. And what they have on offense right now, and Ryan, oh my God, is he building a staff. They have two of the hottest young, if that happens, they'll have probably the two hottest young coaches in the country, and Brian Hartline and Corey Dennis. I mean, stupid. And the guy that, if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. G. Scott Sr. talked about him. The guy that will be the least talked about, most important person, right? He's not going to be talked about a ton, but he's going to provide more impact than anyone will ever know, is Keenan Bailey, who's working with Corey Dennis in the quarterbacks. He'll help Hartline with the receivers. Those three are three of the strongest younger generation coaches in America. So Ohio State has to feel good about the pass game because they have youth, they have energy coaching, they have Ryan Day's expertise. But make no mistake about it, the running back position is in complete panic mode. And I'm not talking injuries. We could talk injuries too. They have a lot of injuries that are even more concerning. But you look at it, the receiver position is going to be loaded. They're going to be young as shit. Chris Olave is going to be the junior. The two guys, the older guys that haven't really done anything, are Jalen Harris and Elijah Gardner. And we'll see what they can provide and what steps they can take if they are finally ready to play. And I think the heart and soul of this group that, again, people won't talk about, is as long as he gets another year, but even if he doesn't, probably to stay on and coach or whatever he's going to do, is CJ Saunders. CJ played a lot when I was coaching receivers, which now is what, two years ago. CJ, if he comes back, gets healthy, gets his sixth year, that kid is going to drive that room. That's how elite of a human being he is. So that's going to be the senior leadership. And then you have Chris Olave, who's a junior, and this will probably be his last year. And then obviously Garrett Wilson has a lot of hype around his name. But then you talk about some young guys. Cameron Babb, if he can get healthy, looks like a Greek god, and his skill set is as good as anyone on this entire roster. And then it's obviously the young kids, the freshmen, the kids that just walked in, or Jameson Williams. Don't forget about Jameson Williams. I mean, this is Ted Ginn reincarnate 2.0, if he can just develop and mature. So they're going to have a lot of options at receiver. Those four young kids, we're going to get into them in more depth in a couple when we do the recap or the mid-spring recap. But they're going to be loaded. Now, the tight end position is the other one that should be loaded on offense. I mean, Luke Farrell and Jeremy Ruckert should be the two of the best tight ends in the country. They need to improve in pass pro. Luke Farrell was really good in the run game. Jeremy Ruckert was really good in the pass game. If they both can complement each other, it has a chance to be really, really solid. And then Cade Stover. It's going to be awesome to watch him play tight end. I'm really excited about it. He is the body type. Reminds me of Sam Hubbard. For those of you who don't remember that story, Sam Hubbard came in, didn't have a position. Tom Herman fought like hell to get him as a tight end because he thought he could be an All-American tight end. And ultimately, Mike Vrabel won and got him as a D lineman. Urban decided to make him a D lineman, and the rest is history. Obviously, great player, great D lineman playing for the Bengals. But the offense did not lose this battle for Cade Stover, so it's going to be exciting to watch him at tight end. The O-line's going to be really solid. I know they lost two guys. But I think they'll be better at right tackle. It'll be interesting to see who takes that guard spot in the end. But I'm really excited about it. And then defense, I think, is going to be more suspect than people know. I'm worried about the secondary. I'm worried about the safety position. People don't realize how important Jordan Fuller was to that defense. So I'm worried about it. I'm worried about the safety position. I'm worried about opposite of Sean Wade. The linebacker position, it should be improved. They lost Malik Harrison, which is a big loss. He's an athletic freak that made a lot of plays. But with the emergence of a guy like Kayvon Pope, if a guy like Taraja Mitchell can come along, and then, or even a Dallas Gant, I know has looked like he gained some weight, which is great. And then the two white boys, Pete Warner and Tuff Borland, will improve for sure. And then maybe Justin Hilliard can provide some impact at the linebacker position. But anyways, the last position obviously is the defensive line position. And for whatever reason, I think it's because I know the talent they brought in and I know how big of a stud Larry Johnson is. I just never have any concern about the defensive line. You just know they're going to be good. So wanted to give you a quick update, but and on a pecking order, I'm so excited to watch what Corey Dennis does with Justin Fields. I'm so excited to watch these young receivers. I am terrified at who's going to play running back in this offense. And the real problem is, they're going to be successful in the Big Ten play. Maybe not Oregon, but outside of the Oregon game, they're going to be successful in these games. And that's what you face when you're Ohio State. If Master Teague's the running back, he's going to have success against these teams. But when it comes time to play a big boy, he's not going to provide the impact that J.K. Dobbins did, that Travis Etienne does at Clemson, that DeAndre Swift did at Georgia. I mean, he's not that level of back, and they don't have a guy that is. That's just the reality. So anyways, I wanted to give you a quick update, what I'm hearing, what I've seen, my concerns before doing a full-on breakdown of this football team in Columbus and also this football team in Clemson, South Carolina, because that is the hot button item right now. That semifinal rematch is looking to be the two best teams in the country, which we all know will change. We all know that will change. Alabama will be right back in the mix. Georgia will be talking about. Florida looks really, really solid. So way too early, top two, right? Clemson, Ohio State. So we're going to give you a real in-depth look at their spring ball, how that went. But I'm interested to get Curtis Grant on, so I'm going to take a quick break for one of our sponsors. We're going to get Curtis on the line, and we're going to get this Menace in the Morning started. Thank you for joining us here right back after a word from one of our sponsors. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping, and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE.
All right. Welcome to the first episode, Menace in the Morning. We are welcoming back Curtis Grant to kind of give you a little motivation. I wanted to, as I mentioned on the last show, this show is going to be a little different than the other show that I've been doing. This is going to be less scripted, more about life, more about just kind of give you something to entertaining and to listen to, and something to take away from it every morning or every a couple mornings a week. So, well, what's up, Kurt?
What's up, Coach? How you doing? You all right?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. But fresh out of jail, so I can't complain.
Hey, you know what I call you, 614 Trap Boy.
614 Trap Boy. Hey, you know what's funny? I had like two different people when I was in Delaware County. They said, you're probably the most famous person to ever come to this jail. And I was like, what the fuck? Like that's some accomplishment. Like check it off my bucket list. The most famous son of a bitch to go to jail.
Hey, listen, all you needed was a big chain and, you know, and a couple, and a grill. You know, you could have told me, like I told you, you could have told me your name was 614 Trap Boy, ex-football coach. You do it all.
Oh, man. I'm so you boy. Wait, yes, hey, it was a life experience. I know that much. I learned more about being a criminal than anywhere in the world.
Hey, that's one thing I do know. I know you're not a criminal, so we're not going to flash that on your life.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. Well, what's here's the first thing I want to know. What's going on? Where's Curtis Grant right now? Where are you at today?
Man, I'm on my way back to the house right now. I'm on Interstate 75. Getting down with the get down, man. Rolling, trying to get home and see the family. And, you know, been out 2 weeks. You know, just trying to, waiting for some things to kick off here with the trucking and, you know, doing some different things, working on writing a book, trying to create different sources of revenue for myself, create assets, not liabilities. That's what I'm on right now.
Hey, that's the key right there. I'll tell you what, people, I didn't know this. You know, as a football coach, you don't know this because you only have one life. You don't have an opportunity to have a second life. But right. Being on this other side, that's one of the biggest things I've found out is multiple sources of revenue are so critical.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just because that money don't last, man, and people don't realize that even though you're a coach, you're just like, you know, me as a player, and because you get fired any day. Yeah. It don't matter what time or what's going on. I mean, just like the league, you can get fired, and you might have a little bit more, you know, leeway because you're a coach. You know, you're not as not like a player where, you know, it doesn't take at least a little bit of mistake that we do. You know, he can't focus, he can't do this, he can't do that, and the next thing you know, he's out of the building, or, you know, he's not playing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, as a player, you're racing time. As a coach, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Eventually, exactly. As a player, you're going to slow down just because that's what God does to you. As a coach, you don't have to worry about that. Now, if you marry the wrong person or do something stupid, you might get fired. I know that firsthand.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, at that point, man. And to get it, to piggyback on that, you know, you just got to have a great companion, man. You really do.
Yeah. And I think about some of the coaches I've been around, and like your coach, Coach Fick, his wife is awesome. I mean, there's so many coaches with great wives, and it's like, God, that's so critical as a football coach to have success.
It is, because, you know, the things that women bring to the table that, you know, that we don't bring to the table, you know, helps us out along the journey, man. And that's why they always say a woman needs to be your strong backbone while you're her protector and provider. You know what I mean? Because, believe it or not, you see the different side of the world now that we're not in the limelight anymore. And that being said, it's hard. You know, when you're out here, you got to take care of the kids, and you got to do this, you got to do that. And you don't have anybody to call on, you know, it gets real difficult.
That's a fact. Well, speaking, I didn't think about this, and this wasn't planned, but speaking of Coach Fick, tell me you saw the video on Twitter of him dancing.
No, I have not.
Oh.
But I did see how big Lil Landon has got.
Hey, you knew that was going to happen, though.
Man, I did not know. I didn't know he was going to get wide now. I knew he was growing up, but he looked like he looked a little different. Raekwon sent me a hype video of him. He had a little swag to him and everything. I said, okay, see you, Landon.
Hey, isn't it funny to watch them grow up when they're, they're 7 years old and you're like, this is a little kid. And then all of a sudden they're 12, 13, and you're like, oh, shit, who's this?
Got a little mustache, you know, got a little muscle. So, you know, it's a difference, brother. So
that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the Buckeyes are back in spring ball. They started on Monday, and I know there's a lot of hype about this team. And I just want to get your feelings on spring ball in general. I mean, you've been through whatever, four of them, maybe five of them, right?
No, I went through four of them. Was it four? It was either three or four.
Yeah.
It depended on, you know, when you come in. So I think I went through three of them. I think I like spring ball. To a certain extent, I believe that, you know, spring ball is a time for the team to get together and build, man. Get those off-season workouts, see who has progressed and basically try to get a rhythm before the season starts. And, you know, set the tone early and get a lot of young guys a lot of work, man. I mean,
a lot
of
work.
If you got players like, you know, like when we had our Bosa's and Zeke's and our Durant's and Devin's, you know, people like that, you don't need to kill them during spring ball because, you know, you plan on going all the way, you know, during the season. So, in my opinion, you know, guys like that, after the first week, we tone them back just a little bit, get them a lot of individual work and, you know, get them working on that pass rush and, you know, fits and stuff like that. Or if it's the offense, you know, getting down to receiving, getting down to timing with the quarterback and receivers and the handing off the ball and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as just brutally trying to kill each other, man, during spring ball, man, I think it's a waste of time, you know. Keep it competitive, but also understand that, like, yo, if you get your star players hurt during this time, you don't forget you signed a contract just like us.
Yeah, right. That's a fact. So, well, you know what spring always was for me, and you touched on it, is it was a chance to see young guys compete. You put them in a game-like situation and see how they're going to respond. And you kind of get a feel for what they might become in the fall,
right?
And you know
the thing about
No, I was just gonna say the other thing that I love about it for like a guy like Curtis Grant, right? A guy like you that's going, you know, a leader, a really good player. Like you don't want to get him hurt, but spring ball is a chance where you have twice as much meeting time as practice time. So there's a lot of learning and teaching going on for especially for your better players. Where it's not as it's not like two-a-days where you're just grinding every day physically. You're in the classroom every day,
right? And I think that helps. Sometimes that classroom too can kill a kid's confidence.
Yeah.
So I think it's a perfect balance between that. So basically, well, for spring ball for an older player like me, when my junior senior year come around, that's the time for me to sharpen up more of my mental. You know what I'm saying? Because now at this point, if I'm going to be the basic quarterback of the defense, I should be on a more complex level, being able to communicate with my coaches and get them to understand, like, hey, coach, I can accept this role and the checks. Now I want to think like you, coach. What are you thinking? I know how I'm going to think, but what are you thinking? So now I can make the checks with no problem. And then that's building my confidence on the mental side. Now I can give the basics to help coach out, give the basics back to the younger guy and teach them, okay, look, even though you're going to be running around like a madman, that's going to be cool, but let's slow you down just a little bit and let's teach you this playbook so you have the confidence to be able to get in the game if something happens to me. And you're not there just wondering like, oh, if I get in the game, am I going to mess up? You know, that's a lot of times the player's mindset when they come into college. You know, they're not used to seeing guys across the line 6'6", 325, 350, and, you know, And you know what I'm saying? And you got to go try to destroy this man and get to a ball carrier that's 22, 23 years old that's squatting 600 pounds coming through the hole, you know?
Right.
A lot of factors play on that coming in as a young kid. So I think, you know, spring ball, you know, is a more time to sharpen the mental and help them young kids along and help them build their confidence because now they're a big fish in a bigger pond, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as a coach, I remember vividly – I mean, and I'm sure the players, I know y'all knew, you know, it's like you getting those Saturday scrimmages and you knew at the end of the scrimmage, it was going to be a 1-point game between offense, defense. Like it didn't matter how the scrimmage went.
For sure.
They were about to make that score a close game because Urban used to script it. And even other coaches that I worked for, it was like at the end of the scrimmage, you wanted to see that sophomore receiver, you know, down by one, fourth down, on the 10-yard line, will that kid make the play to win the scrimmage? You know what I mean? And it was scripted. Like, it was planned out. Like, we want to see Devin Smith, a sophomore. We want to see, will he make that play to win the game? Because that's going to tell you a lot going into the fall when you already know that Philly Brown will make the play. You know what I mean? You want to see if that young kid's ready to make that play.
For sure. And that builds confidence, man. And like I said, confidence. Football is all about confidence, man. But the confidence doesn't just start with the player. Because when you come in, you're already behind the eight ball. You know what I'm saying? You're coming in against a lot of star players. So the biggest thing, you know, was usually built our confidence is Coach Nick. You know, just being able to get you to understand that you can do anything in here that you believe your mind. So kudos goes to Coach Nick when you first go to Ohio State, man. He's the guy that really boosts your confidence and helps you start. And then once you get in that classroom, it's your coach's job to understand you as a player to be able to help you excel and become an even better player. It's not like you just got your freaks. You know, your Ryan Shazier's, your Bosa's. You know, that's been coached their whole life by top-tier players. I mean, come on, now, let's just use the Bosa brothers for example, you know, they come in, their uncle's a first round pick, the dad's a first round pick. So, you know, and then they go to one of the greatest high schools in the country, you know, so they're already ahead of the game.
Oh yeah.
Now
oh,
you just got to teach them the playbook.
I mean, yeah, you know, you're coming out of high school. They're literally everyone that started at St. Thomas Aquinas went D1 somewhere. Like,
yep.
And you know, even if it's Central Florida, like that's a great high school player. Like, you know what I mean? It's
right. That's
a fact. That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to transition a little bit. I wanted to definitely get your thoughts on spring ball, just kind of that process, because I don't want to lose the football aspect of this show. But like I've said a couple weeks, and you and I talked about, this is going to be more laid back, but also different than just a sports show. So I wanted to get your opinion, and I want to share kind of just my own mental health for a minute, and I want to get your opinion on this. And I know that when you're trying to do something on your own, and it really doesn't matter what it is, it could be just attacking your job that you where you work for someone else, or it could be trying to start a company, or it could be whatever people are going through in their life or doing in their life. There are times where you wake up and you're just not feeling this shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's times where you wake up and you're like, I am not trying to do this shit today. And I wanted to know kind of from you, and I'll share what I do, but I wanted to know, what do you do on those days to get your mind right, get your shit going, get back refocused? What's your routine to kind of get out of a bad place and into a good place?
Well, see, my biggest thing is, what is your motivation? You know, a lot of guys, you know, as you listen to a lot of people talk, and when I receive someone else's message, you know, you listen to all these people that have been homeless, you know, adopted or whatever tragic thing that might have been tragic in their life.
Yeah, faced adversity.
You know, facing adversity. You look at it and you like, dang. Am I really living like that? You know, that's the first thing. You identifying the problem. Is it really that bad? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
a big
thing. You
identify the problem, and it's like, is it really that bad? Or is it me? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it's you because you're in your head.
Yeah, that's real. Sometimes it's not as bad as it seems, you know?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it seems, because if you can get up and you can wake up, brush your teeth, put your clothes on, You're already probably ahead of 60% of the world.
Yeah, no doubt. Perspective.
and then perspective. So when we're looking at the perspective of what we're looking at, you can't tell your brain's a computer. You can't tell your brain that it sucks today.
Yep.
Why would you tell yourself that? Because now you're bringing negative energy on your mind. So what I do when the days I don't feel like it, I cut on something immediately, either one of my old speeches, or I cut on an ET speech, or I might just put on some nice smooth jazz music or band music, or stuff that gets my brain on the same wavelength as the music. Because if it's upbeat, it's going to bring me back up.
Yep.
I might not want to hear nobody talk to me. I might just need to hear some good music. And I'm not talking about rap music, shoot them up in the club, bang, bang, bang.
No.
So I noticed that things that help me out while I'm out here on the road and I started to get agitated with people. One thing is the sound of the horn section of like a band or for some reason that tone brings, you know, brings me like a lot of positive energy, man.
Yeah.
And being out here, you know, listening, just even when I'm not feeling it, I might go, my new people, I started listening to Dave Ramsey. I started picking up different things like Dave Ramsey and Robert Kiyosaki, two millionaires that I listen to now on a daily basis, and especially Robert Kiyosaki, man, because that man was $1 million in debt, and he refused to claim bankruptcy, and he wasn't making any money.
Mm.
You know, things like that. You know, stuff like that motivates me, you know, because, you know, starting a company, you're not going to come out the gate making a lot of money. It's just, it is what it is.
It's a
It's a process, man. And the process is a lot slower than it was to me when you were playing sports.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like every year you graduated. But this, you don't never know when you're going to graduate.
No.
And, the biggest thing, you know, that I do while I'm out here and I start to get mad at something, I pick a different subject that I've never, you know, for instance now, I want to learn about financial literacy. I want to learn about taxes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to learn about this or that. And that keeps me going. You know, but if I do the same old thing every day, I'm bored. You know?
And you know what? Here's an exercise. So I read, obviously, when I went to jail, I had a lot of time. And so I read, right. I was there 19 days. I read 6 books. And one of the things that I took away from, I don't know if you are with David Goggins.
Yeah, I know you talk about.
This dude is wild. Marine? I mean, wild. He weighed 297. He what, 300 pounds. He wants to become a Navy SEAL. He sees a commercial. So he goes to all these Navy SEAL, you know, Navy recruitment centers. 10 people turned him away. The 11th one was like, all right, I believe in you. You got to lose 100 pounds in 3 months. And the sumbitch did it. He lost 103 pounds in 3 months.
And he was talking about doing like 1,000 pull-ups.
He did 1,040 some pull-ups, set the world record in a day. Crazy.
And runs like 30 miles or something crazy like that.
Oh yeah, crazy. He did an ultra marathon, some 110 mile, took 24 hours race, and he didn't train for it. I mean, he shit himself, pissed blood, like wild shit. But
yeah, dude. But I don't have. That's another guy I listen to, man. I mean, I have to listen to those people because they've been there. Like I posted a story this morning about Steve Harvey. He was talking about he lived in his car for 3 years.
Bro, Steve Harvey's awesome.
He lived in his car for 3 years. He's from Cleveland, so I can relate because I got a lot of guys that we know that's from Cleveland.
For sure.
And we both know Cleveland ain't the prettiest thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
So the thing he talked about this morning that touched me was he was homeless. He was living in his car for 3 years. He went to a payphone to check his voicemail. A guy had called him from the Apollo. He had $35 in his pocket.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, man, how am I going to get to New York? Calls back again, checks his voicemail again. It's another guy like in Jacksonville, Florida. He's in Pensacola, Florida now. That's a 3-hour difference.
Oh, yeah.
So he has $35 enough to put gas in the car to go on and get $150 for that show.
Yep.
And then they said he was so funny, they called him back the next night. He had $300.
Yep.
Now, okay, he took that $300, bought him a plane flight that was $100, and he begged the man to stay at the Apollo Theater. And they told him he better not come out. He came out to get some food to do. Said, if you're not back in 20 minutes, you're not going on. Huh. He went back and he said, the people that he met, listen to the people he met now. He met Jamie Foxx, D.L. Hughley, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I think it was one more.
Wow. That's...
They booed all three of them before Steve Harvey came on stage. They booed all three of them.
Yeah, the Apollo was no joke back in the day now.
Listen, they booed. Look, but the thing is, they booed all three of them. And when they booed them, the only one they cheered for was Steve Harvey. But now all of them somewhat entertainers, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy.
So at that point, I was like, what am I giving up for?
Yeah, right.
Maybe I just need to change me. Yeah. Maybe I need to add some more assets to me. And get rid of some of the liabilities, the people, the negative thinking, the way I conduct business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you just said it, and it made me think of that book by David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, that I read. Because, you know, he talked about doing an exercise, and I started doing it right when I got out. It was every day just kind of track, just write down what you do, what you spend your time on. Because like you said, pick a topic, learn about it. Most people say, well, when the hell am I going to find time to learn about financial literacy or whatever? It doesn't matter what it is. Right. Pick a topic. And the reality is I'm doing this exercise. You know how much time I waste doing stupid shit?
Oh, you ain't got to tell me. I already know it.
So much time. And it's like you can find time to do anything. I don't care which. I coach football working 120 hours a week. I still could have found time to read or do something different. I could have.
Right. But see, this is the thing. My thing is I don't have time to read books all day. So if they're not on audio, I'm going to have to wait till I get a lot of off time.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to work on some other things like – now, like when I get off the road, I've been driving. I've been working for 14 hours. Sometimes I have to get off and I have to dispatch myself. I have to do this type of paperwork. I have to do that. I have to do this. I do like 4 people's jobs and I still drive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, when I get off, I done already listened to, you know, my motivation. I done read a few chapters to the books just from listening. I done heard this person speak about this. I done learned this about financial literacy today. because all of these things to be a millionaire, it's the stuff that you have to understand and be able to conduct yourself to move forward to be any type of successful person out here. And, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, probably me and you are missing right now at this time is a mentor. You know what I'm saying? Someone to kind of take us in a way that we need to, someone that's been there to show us the ropes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. And people nowadays, man, they just want you to do it by yourself. And then when you get hot, they want to jump on you. And it's
that's
like, dude.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And you know what else? And I don't know how it is in your world and where you're at in Virginia and everything else, but in Columbus, like I'm trying to build this media company. I'm trying to do this sports media show. I'm trying to build this website. And the reality is I don't really have much respect for the people that do it in Columbus. Like who 610 WTVN, I'm cool. I don't want to learn a damn thing from them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're going to mentor me. I don't find a real you know, it's like anything else. Who do you surround yourself with? If you're the smartest person in the room, you need to find a different room. And finding somebody, a mentor, people that are going to push you is harder than people think, especially when you've done something as high performing as you have, as I have. It's hard to find people that are like-minded and that are going to better you.
For sure.
I'm sure you face it. In a trucking world and in a logistics world, I'm sure 90% of the people you meet, you're like, nah, you don't have the same type of mindset as me. Maybe 98%.
No, that's pride, man. I had a guy tell me the other day, he was like, hey, man, I'll show you one or two things, but I'm not gonna tell you where I get my money from because you might mess around and take it from me. I was like, what? Yeah, what's so like, how do you sound, bro?
Right.
Like, why would you say that? Yeah, I'm confused. Like, why would you even say something like that, man? Like, we all out here, you know, trying to make a way for our families, man. And it just kills me that somebody's scared to help the next person, man. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I used to say, and I always talk about coaching because I really believe that coaching at a high level like Ohio State, it applies to every industry. And I've yet to find one it doesn't apply to. But what you, the story you just told, I can relate to recruiting. Like, what? I recruited at a very high level, but I never one time did some shit where I was like, no, I'm not telling anyone that I'm doing that. Man, I'm telling everyone at Ohio State, bro, you got to try this. You got to do this. You got to get on this. Like, I'm trying to help everybody. And I like,
right.
Even though,
especially if they're on your team.
Yeah. Especially if they're on your team. But you know what? Even if not, like there was people, I have friends at Penn State that I'm recruiting against and I'm telling them like, bro, you got to get on this new huddle thing. Or you got to get on this. Like it saves so much time. Like, I don't care. Like I'm still going to try to beat the shit out of them in recruiting, but I'm not trying to hoe them, like hold something back from them. Like I'm trying to let everybody grow.
Yeah. Listen, one thing I learned about being out here, man, you only can let certain people eat, man. And that's one thing that these books are teaching me.
Yeah,
is that you only bring the people along that you feel like really deserve, man. You can't keep giving people like you and I. We can't keep giving people the secret recipe if they don't deserve it.
No.
Because they end up taking our recipe and making it better than our, well, not even better, just subpar, and everybody likes it. And it's like, well, hold on. It's subpar. He didn't even do anything.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with in Columbus with this show and these tailgates I'm doing. You got these multi-million dollar companies, iHeartRadios and people like that are just they're trying to take what I built. And it's like, bro, wait a minute now. Like, I'm just one man. Why don't you do your own shit?
they want it because they try to monopolize everything, man. And it's the same with the trucker companies. Like all these big trucker companies. They work with the bank, and then, you know, once you work with the bank, it's nothing else that needs to be said, because that's where you're going to get all your funding from.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's one thing people don't understand. The rich don't own anything, but owns everything.
Yep. That's for sure.
You know what I mean? They don't own anything, but own everything, and don't pay taxes.
Yep, and don't pay taxes.
and can't wait to tell you that. Oh, man, I'm rich.
Yeah, right.
I own everything, but I don't own anything, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I think Kurt, I want to do this every week, and I know you want to do that too. So I'm really excited for where this heads. And I know that just something more laid back, more life oriented, also still talking sports because that's, you know, what a lot of people want to hear about. But I also want to talk about what we just talked about, just life motivation, things like that, because I think What we just talked about is better than 99% of what I listen to on the radio. So might as well keep doing it, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. We're gonna talk about that real every week. Hey. Make sure we don't give out that real on this show.
Hey, that's
uncut.
That's a fact. And you know what we need to do? We need to get some people on here so you and I can grill them. Some of your boys and some of the guys that I know. We'll get them on here. You and I can go after them.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk during the week and see who we can put on here, man.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you, Kirk. Keep grinding, bro.
Yeah, you too, brother. Hey, much success and much love.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk next week, all right?
All right. All right.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to our initial episode of Menace in the Morning. Wanted to give you a preview of what is available starting next week for Patreon subscribers only. And also back to our regularly scheduled program next week. Got some great interviews lined up. Like I mentioned, Coach JB from Netflix series Last Chance U, some former players, some NFL execs, some current college football players' parents and families. And excited about it. So hope you're entertained. Hope you're educated. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned something or at least we're entertained. And as we say, if not, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.